Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To talk about the ponies with one of our faves, he has become our standard post-Triple Crown analyst. He does so for the Daily Racing Form, one of the best in the business. Dave Greinich joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, DG?
I'm very well, Jody, and just really happy to finally have seen the sun.
Yeah, we never weren't sure if it was ever going to come out again. You've been covering Triple Crown races for a long time. That was just continuous downpour. The Kentucky Derby, it came and it went, and yes, the race itself was run in a quagmire, but yesterday was just rain on top of rain on top of rain, starting on Friday, going straight through on Saturday. How ugly was it out there on the track?
Well, it actually started Tuesday night. I got down to Baltimore on Tuesday afternoon. It was nice. Tuesday night, it started to rain, and it was either raining or threatening to rain from Tuesday night through Friday, through Saturday. And then to add a little juice to it, we threw in some fog right around post time for the race, so you could only see bits and pieces of the race depending on what monitor you were watching.
And yes, I saw two different views of the race after the fact, and I still don't have a great grasp, and you're just not going to get one because it wasn't there to be had by any specific monitor and or broadcast. Between his Kentucky Derby win and his Preakness win, would you say one was more impressive for Justify than the other? Pretty much equal, one really dominant, the other one only okay? How would you compare the two Triple Crown wins Justify has gotten in the last 2 weeks?
I'd say they were on par. I might give the Derby a little bit more credence because he went so fast early. I mean, they went 45-3, and he was dueling a horse, except that was just a horse. Yesterday he went 47 flat, but he was dueling the two-year-old champion and in a bit of a surprise, too. I don't think too many of us, including the trainer of the two-year-old champion, Good Magic, expected that those two would be dueling from Jump Street. So I'd say the Derby, just because he went so fast and kept going, whereas yesterday he was pressed, but the fractions weren't quite as fast, and the track was equally sloppy both days. So I'd give a slight edge to the Derby performance.
Being surprised is one thing, and Chad Brown expressed that surprise after the fact as to how Ortiz decided to take a mano-a-mano against Justify rather than sit off his flank. And Jose said, listen, we weren't going that fast. My horse wanted to run. I didn't think I was overusing him, and that's why I did what he did. Is Brown's criticism, other than the surprise of it, is it legit? Do you think it cost Good Magic? He got beat less than two lengths, a length and a half, somewhere thereabouts. Wasn't like he quit badly in the stretch. What'd you think of Jose's choice to ride Good Magic the way he rode him?
Well, Jose basically admitted to me. I mean, I did a story last night. That was my sidebar, that he messed up. He wasn't supposed to be there. That's not what they had talked about. And I've seen some things on social media. It's like, well, that's the only way they could have won is if they went after him like that. And no, that's the way that those people thought he could have won, but that's not the way Chad Brown thought he could have won or was supposed to try to win. He wanted a stalking type of trip, similar to the Derby, but not necessarily crowded like he was in the Derby. He was in between horses in the Kentucky Derby. I think he was hoping he could get the outside stalking trip and maybe put the pressure on Justify, not sit away off the pace, but just let Justify break and then get to his outside and press him from the outside where horses prefer to do that. But Jose said, look, I tried to get him back. I let him run away from there. And then he got, he sort of got on a bit there and he could not get him off of Justify. Possibly, maybe Mike Smith wasn't going to let him. I mean, it wasn't like Justify was going faster or slower than Good Magic. He was going at the same pace, and he wasn't really going to let Jose back up, say back up and get to the outside. So Jose was there, and he couldn't do anything about it. And what Jose said is accurate. They didn't go that fast. 47 flat, 11-2 is not killer fractions, considering he said the Derby went 45-3 and 11 flat. But he just couldn't sustain it. And Justify is just a really good horse, and you know, you got to give, got to tip his hat, tip your hat to him.
And the funny thing about it is, and Chad Brown mentioned this, he said, yeah, I know he got compromised by post position because Justify was the 7 and he was the 5. We talk about post position, and it actually can be huge in the Kentucky Derby because it's 20 horses. When we only had 8 to go in the Preakness, I said, well, it doesn't really matter where they draw for post because plenty of time for a horse to pick and choose his spot. He's not going to get boxed in. He's not going to get run over by other horses and the like. But post position seemed to play a bigger strategical point in the Preakness than it ended up playing in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I think from the standpoint of just being inside of the other horse, I mean, if Justify was 5 and Good Magic was 7, then he could sort of, you know, being on the outside, you can sort of dictate the race. Whereas if you're inside, you don't have anywhere to go unless you're going to, you know, pull your horse back and then try to get outside. And for the first part of that race, going down the back, down through the stretch and into the turn the first time, Bravazo was right outside there. So even if Jose had wanted to do that, he couldn't because Bravazo was, you know, outside of, you know, where he would have wanted to be, even if he let Justify go. So he really didn't have much of a choice. So it's really about positioning, being on the inside of the other horse. It didn't really matter if it was, you know, post 12 and post 11 or post 2 and post 1. It was just being on his inside.
Let's get to Bravazo, who ended up closing staunchly from the outside and getting up for second. As you mentioned, he was sitting third the majority of the race. Tenfold goes by him, and then Bravazo comes again to get him on the outside. Yeah, it was painful for me because I had Tenfold running second as the longest shot on the board to Justify and thought I had it. Bravazo, at least on the NBC tape, you didn't see till the last 20 yards when he surpassed them. They had a tight shot on the top three, Good Magic, Tenfold, and, of course, Justify with his head in front. How impressive after the fact is Bravazo's effort to be that close, to drop back, and then to come again and come in second?
Yeah, that's the part of the race where I need to try and see what happened. Like, why did he drop back? I thought he was in a good position third, and then you know, he did drop out of it and then came on again. And I'm trying to figure out, did he actually come on again, or were the other horses, you know, because of the pace at which they were going and just the contested battle, were they sort of starting to tire? So I sort of need to go back and see that. Look, Wayne Lucas is a master of getting horses to run an okay race. If they run an okay race, the Kentucky Derby, they run better in the Preakness. And he was going, as Bob Afric achieved his 7th Preakness victory, Wayne Lucas was going for his 7th as well. So he's figured out somehow that the type of horse that can withstand the grind of the Kentucky Derby and then turn around 2 weeks later and give you an equally as good, if not better, effort. And Bravazo seems to be one of those horses that did that for Wayne.
If Lucas is good, you're right, Baffert's even better, because if he wins the Kentucky Derby, he knows exactly how to prep his horse for the Preakness, and he wins the first two legs of the Triple Crown. He's now done it a couple of times, including American Fowl, who ended the almost 40-year dry streak of Triple Crown winners. Any of other Baffert's horses, or any of the other horses at all, who in the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, as long as you've been following it, covering it and the like, that Justify remind you of? They got the first two legs of the Triple Crown and then came to Belmont with the chance to win it all. Is there one that kind of stands out? It could be American Power or any of the ones that came up just short. Which one does Justify most remind you of?
The tenacity which he displayed sort of reminds me a little bit of Silver Charm. Silver Charm was the type of horse that didn't really let you by if he saw you, and he didn't see Touch Gold in the Belmont Stakes. But he was one of those fighter types that was into the race, and you know, you came up alongside of him, and he turned you aside. So it reminds me from that standpoint a little bit of that. I think what Baffert was saying this morning was, you know, in American Pharoah's case, you know, American Pharoah came into this 3-year-old year a little bit behind, and he thought the Kentucky Derby actually set him up for the toughness of the tough race that he had in the Kentucky Derby, actually set him up for the other two legs. He kind of indicated that this morning about yesterday's race for Justify. He thought the tough, you know, the hard race that he had won't set this horse back. It'll move him forward to give you another peak performance in the Belmont Stakes. And if that's the case, you might as well shine up the crown right now and the new trophy that I think the New York Racing Association has commissioned. If that is indeed the case, it remains to be seen. I'm not so sure that he's right. I don't know that he's wrong. I'm not going to question Baffert, but So between Silver Charm and American Pharoah, I'd say that those are the two that he reminds me the most.
Fair enough. I like the Silver Charm comparison. And Bob Afford is a horseman. And I think, generally speaking, I have him, had him on as a guest many a time. You talk to him certainly more than I do. I think he's a pretty straight shooter. But trainers are also going to tell you what they hope and what they feel is optimistic about their horse. They're not going to tell you, unless the horse is hurt, that, yeah, you know, I think that race just took the bejesus out of him, and I don't know if he can run again. They just don't do that because they don't want to, and they don't want to tell their owners that, and the like. They want to look at the glasses half full. That's my read on Bob Baffert. Same for you? Different for you? Do you see Bob differently? Because it doesn't surprise me if you tell me that he says this will be a building stone race rather than a draining race, because Mike Smith did say after the race, yeah, he was getting tired late.
Yeah, you know, I think that the horses give you signs that when you read these signs, you think they're giving you that particular sign. I mean, two examples. You know, one, or like 5 years ago after he won the Derby, you know, he looked like he was training very well going in the Preakness, and he just didn't run nearly as well, and we never saw his best again. And they're always dreaming the same way. I mean, you kind of didn't think Always Dreaming was going to come back and win the Preakness, just because it's not as many things as Todd Fletcher does well. Is wheeling bad horses back in 2 weeks at that level isn't one of them, and that's why he's sort of a rare participant in the Preakness. So you get the same, but you're getting the same vibe. The signals from the horse and what the trainers are telling you is similar to what Baffert would say about how the horse came out of the Derby. But then you run the race, and then you have to figure out how the race was run. Does that dictate what happened in terms of lack of fitness or the quick turnaround? What Baffert's mastered is he's gotten those horses, so the way he trains, the horses are so fit that if they're good enough, they're going to overcome a scenario like yesterday when a two-year-old champion is pressing. Because as you alluded to earlier, he's now 5-for-5 with horses that won the Derby, and he's coming and they've won the Preakness.
Yep.
And that's remarkable, really.
Can't do it any better than Bob Baffert has done it, going from a Derby win in the Baltimore 2 weeks later. You mentioned Todd Pletcher. Well, he's got Audible, who ran a very good third in the Kentucky Derby, was my choice, did not disappoint me other than he didn't win. I thought he ran a very legit race. He's got the 5 weeks off, decided to skip the Preakness, understandably so. Todd does that. The horse may have needed it. Seems to be or should be sitting on a big race for the Belmont Stakes, but there is the connection between ownership of Justify and Audible. How does that play out? Who makes that call? How much does Pletcher influence the decision?
I don't think Todd's going to, the only way Todd influences the decision is if he tells them that, look, this horse isn't ready to run. I'm sure Todd would love to run this horse in the race. The decision will probably be made by the Windstar Farm people. The president is Elliot Walden, a former trainer, who once denied Bob Baffert a Triple Crown, by the way, with Victory Gallop beating Real Quiet in the Shadow of the Wire by a nose. And I talked to him this morning. He was at the barn in Baltimore, and he said he's just not ready to make that decision yet. He does have other partners, the China Horse Club, and two other minority partners, and Jack Wolf and Sol Kuhlman. And they'll talk about it. And it's really sort of one of the major early storylines in the Belmont. I mean, if Audible runs, he's the second choice in the race. If he doesn't run, then, people will be like, oh, look at that. They're keeping him out of the race. So they're not going to make everybody happy, because some people will look at it and say, well, why would you run him? And other people will say, well, you've got to run him to be sporting. And you're just not going to make everybody happy. It's going to be an interesting decision how they make it. And I would think that they would make it sometime this week, because Pletcher has to, they have to at least give Todd the courtesy of how to train the horse. Is he going to train the horse for a race in 3 weeks, or are they going to say, look, let's point for the Haskell, which is in the end of July?
All right, last thing, how do you see it shaping up? How many horses are we looking at? Know that things can change over the next week, and we'll get to under 2 weeks out, and we'll certainly have a better glimpse. We only got 8 for the Preakness. I was thinking originally can get as many as 10, but I'm not sure there are 10 that are going to take a shot at Belmont.
Well, I have 10 names written down, and another horse that's in a similar situation as Audible in terms of having a connection to the ownership group of Justify is My Boy Jack, who was fifth in the Kentucky Derby. Sal Kumin, who runs under multiple stable names, he's got 15% of Justify and about a third of My Boy Jack, so he's got a decision to make as well. You have Blended Citizen, who won the Peter Pan. Bravazo's going to come back. He'll be the only other horse to run in all three. Free Drop Billy, who was awful in the Kentucky Derby, but we'll try and bounce back. The horse that could probably be the second choice if Audible doesn't run would be Hofburg, who was seventh in the Kentucky, seventh in the Derby for Bill Mott. And then you have Tenfold, who was a good third, your horse yesterday in the Preakness. And Vino Rosso. So if Fletcher doesn't get to run Audible, he'll still be represented by Vino Rosso, who finished ninth in the Kentucky Derby and won the Wood Memorial. So he'll have at least seven challengers. Oh, don't forget Gronkowski, named after the New England Patriots tight end, who's now in the barn of Chad Brown. He was supposed to run the Kentucky Derby, got a little sick, didn't make it. He's got a big road to hoe, though. I don't know that he's this quality.
Yeah, and to get ready coming off that illness might be tricky as well. Dave, you always give us great insight whenever you hop aboard. I hope to talk to you exactly 3 weeks from today. Thanks, bud.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.